Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell. The Thunder, after losing to the Pelicans by 33 points on New Year's Eve, beat the Pelicans in New Orleans on Wednesday night, 111 to 110. I thought this was probably the most fun game of the season to watch. It had so many twists and turns, so many big runs. The Thunder had a huge third quarter. The Pelicans had a huge fourth quarter. Mike Muscala hit back-to-back-to-back threes in the fourth. The Pelicans then went on a run. Al Horford hit a big three down the stretch. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got to the free throw line, made a lot of plays. And, you know, George Hill put the Thunder ahead late with two free throws. And adding more drama, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, the cousin of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, misses the three-pointer at the buzzer. Shai is under the basket, saying after the game that he prayed for it to miss, and it did miss. But Bear, I thought I had fun watching. After a wild day, this was a fun basketball game.
It was a fun game. It was a close game. The Thunder won, sort of like last season when they pulled out all kinds of games. We had Steven Adams, now an opponent, getting a triple double.
That was your favorite part.
Oh, he's showing off his passing ability. You know, we talked about all those years. We talked about him, Russell Westbrook taking rebounds away from Stone Cold. He obviously was taking assists away from Stone Cold, Steven Adams. So, the Thunder putting up some crazy numbers, 46 three-pointers. They made, 19 of them, I think. Yeah, 19 to 46.
They took 29 in the first half, which tied a Thunder record for most three-point attempts in a half.
They outscored from the three-point line. They outscored the Pelicans 57 to 12. Unless did Muscala make a four-point play tonight, or was that the other night?
That was the other night.
So they outscore you. You get outscored 57 to 12 from three-point line. You got to make up a lot. Pelicans almost did it, but it was not easy.
There was a lot of weird, very large discrepancies as far as some numbers. You mentioned the three-point line. I'll give you some more. 58 to 36, the Pelicans won the battle in the paint, which you certainly expect with Zion Williamson. 27 to 8, the Thunder won fast break points. They really got out and ran, especially in the first and second quarters. Mark Daigneault said after the game that was big. Hamidou Diallo, I thought, played maybe his best game of the season. He did some good things in the first half. 40 to 19, the Thunder outscored the Pelicans bench, and we've talked about that, how you certainly don't expect that. So any of those you want to talk about, points in the paint, fast break, or the bench?
Well, and let me add another one. Thunder had 28 assists. Even in the glory days, they rarely had 28 assists. In the glory days, they rarely had 27 fast break points. So it's interesting. I'm not saying you'll take this team or this way of playing, but they're 3-4 and they're just trying to figure out ways to make it happen. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's poor at the start of the game, but comes on really strong and finishes with 9 assists.
He led them.
But you're right about Diallo. I mean, Hamidou Diallo was a one-man fast break tonight. He had 9 first half points. I don't guess he scored in the second half, but he just get out and run, and somebody get him the ball, and he made 4 baskets. So it was a fascinating game, and Thunder got whacked on the offensive boards like always, 19-6 it was. But to beat the Pelicans on a night when Zion and Brandon Ingram combined to go 21 of 32. And get to the foul line a reasonable amount of time. Each shot 6 foul shots. To beat New Orleans on a night like that is, that's a good night's work.
Yeah, the Pelicans got no help from the bench at all. Alexander Walker was 5 of 14, 0 of 5 from 3. Josh Hart didn't make a shot. J.J. Redick was one of four, and then he got hurt. My favorite NBA rivalry is J.J. Redick and Hamidou Diallo, which you would never expect to be a rivalry. But they got double technicals against each other the other night. And then Diallo's clapping in J.J. Redick's face, which I don't think is a good idea. And then Redick didn't seem to like that. He was teed up again tonight and then got hurt. Actually, I think when Diallo was driving against him. So that's a weird subplot in this one. But those two stars for the Pelicans didn't have much help. Lonzo Ball sort of shot them out of it. He was 6 of 18, 2 of 9 from 3. I'm not quite sure why he took 9 threes. But, yeah, I mean, the two stars were very good. Zion was explosive tonight. And for as much as we've talked about Darius Bazley being, I want to get to Bazley's offense in a second, but his defense, one night he guards Jimmy Butler. Two nights later, he guards Zion Williamson. Two very different matchups. And Williamson obviously outweighs Bazley by 50 pounds or something. I don't even know what the number would be, but he couldn't handle that matchup. And not many teams can, but the Thunder definitely does not have a Zion Williamson stopper.
It is, and you know, we on display tonight was Zion at his full strength and quickness. You know, it's remarkable how quick he is and how big he is. There's not anybody like that except possibility of LeBron in the league. So he's a guy that's going to be difficult for the Thunder to match up with for the next decade, really. And the one guy that you'd put on him was Steven Adams. Unfortunately, he's now a sidekick of Zion Williamson. So Horford isn't near quick enough. Bazley's not near big enough. He's just a mess of a load, and all you can do is hope he just stays with the 2-point shot and doesn't hurt you much anywhere else. He was fantastic. Brandon Ingram was good. I thought he was 9 of 15, takes only 2 3-pointers, so very efficient. I'm big on Brandon Ingram.
I'm a huge Brandon Ingram fan. I think he's super fun to watch.
Yes, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about he projects poorly compared to Jason Tatum, a guy to which he's been compared a lot. But the truth is, they're not too dissimilar players. The evidence that Tatum is going to be a superstar and Ingram is not, you know, that might happen, but I'm not convinced of it yet. So he's a big time player. I did think the Thunder did a great job on Lonzo Ball. He generally plays well against the Thunder. Yeah. Tonight, not so much. He had 4 turnovers, 4 assists, 6 of 18 from the field, 2 of 9 3-point range. And as you said, the bench was not very good at all. J.J. Redick did nothing. Josh Hart did nothing. Jackson Hayes didn't do much. Alexander Walker was about the only guy that contributed much. So I thought it was a very good night for the Thunder.
The movements and just sort of the way they play in kind of a slow pace. I think Alexander Walker and Shea are like look kind of similar out there together. Shea's obviously the better player. Alexander Walker is a little bit of a project, but he's playing more this year. Stan Van Gundy seems to like him. So we wrote a lot about their relationship last year, but they went to high school together in Tennessee. They went to the same prep school. They lived together. They're best friends, basically. So it's kind of cool to see them out there together.
Yeah, and, if you're a Thunder long-term fan, you sort of didn't know whether you wanted that shot to go in tonight or not, that last shot by Walker Alexander. But, you know, because if somebody's going to beat you, you'd just soon it be SGA's cousin. So, you know, have some joy in the proceedings. But he clearly is helping this team. So,
yeah.
And I was pleased with SGA because I thought early in the game he was playing very poorly with his cousin. Had some stretches where he had a bunch of turnovers. I don't know what he finished with. He finished with, well, two turnovers. Well, he had them both, I think, back-to-back almost. And wasn't making shots, but he really got with it, I think, during the second half. And then down the stretch, he was huge. He hit a three. Where did he hit that? Yeah. The Thunder's down three, and he makes a tough three-point play. Then he gets fouled on a three and makes all three shots. So in the span of, 25 seconds, he scores 6 points and gives the Thunder a chance to win.
Yeah, his final line looks really good. 21 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. He also had 5 steals tonight. The one thing Shea is still not doing well is shooting the three. He was 2 of 7 tonight. But has not shot it super well. He is taking a lot of them. Again, he's over 6 a game on average. One thing popped in my head when just going back to Ingram and Williamson, not that this game matters really. The Thunder, not going to be a winning team. But I wonder down the road if sort of these matchups change. I think it would be fun to sort of switch up those defensive assignments. What about like Bazley on Brandon Ingram and Lou Dort? I know he's given up some hype, but Zion's not that tall. And then Dort on Zion.
I love the idea. I love the idea. I remember, when the Thunder put Thabo Sefolosha on LeBron. Thabo's taller than Lou Dort. But LeBron was dismayed that they would put somebody so small on him. But we've also seen Chris Paul in the old days guard Kevin Durant in that Clippers series. Now, not for long stretches, but they'd put Chris Paul on him and he'd be a nuisance. And Lou Dort is much more than a nuisance. He can physically sort of match up with anybody in terms of strength. Zion might shoot over him, but that's better than Zion shooting, basically laying the ball in the basket, which is what he did a whole bunch tonight.
Yeah.
I like your thinking. That's an excellent idea.
Those are like two of the most physically impressive looking guys in the NBA with Dort and Zion. So that would be fun. Maybe future Thunder Pelicans games. I wanted to move to the third quarter a little bit. It was the Darius Bazley show. It was Bazley outscored the Pelicans 11-0 to start the third quarter. He made 2 3-pointers. He had 1 3-point play. He finished through a foul on a fast break. He finished the third quarter with 15 points. Ended the game with, 20. Did he have? Yeah, he had 20. He had 20 and 12. So another double double. 20 points was his season high. But man, it was fun to watch what he did there at the beginning of that third quarter.
He took the Thunder's first 6 shots of the quarter, 8 of the first 10, and 9 of the first 13.
That's crazy. That never happened last year.
No, and that's Russell Westbrook territory. That in the year of 17, that's Kevin Durant when Westbrook's sitting out. So. That was interesting, and he produced because he didn't play very well the first half, I didn't think. But in that second half, he did come out and really put the Thunder in great shape. The bench gave it away. Bench played well in the first half, give him credit, but bench did not play well. Let me look here. Let me see. I got this written down. When Dagnall went to the bench, he's 150 left. Thunder's up 86-72. He played his starters longer than normal in that third quarter. And the Thunder ends the quarter. Turnover, a make by Muscala, good for him. But Maladone misses. Diallo misses a desperation shot, and then things got really hairy. They go, Diallo misses inside. Kendrick Williams puts up a mid-range that was not very good. They go one, two, three, four turnovers in a row, two of them by Maladone. And that's when Baisley came back and gave him a little bit of reinforcement. But not until, you know, even they have an eight-point lead, Baisley goes back-to-back with some bad turnovers. That's when Daigneault gets Shea back in the game. They're up five. And after that, which they're up, you know, 97, 96, and he puts the main guys in, and, you know, they get a victory. But the bench really was sort of struggling early in that early in the fourth quarter, late third quarter. It was not a good look at all.
Yeah, but one of the runs there in that fourth quarter was a little wild. You had Mike Muscala draining. He scored 9 points in 45 seconds, back-to-back-to-back threes. That was sort of crazy to watch. The fourth quarter was all about runs. The Thunder led by 10 points going into the quarter. Pelicans went on a quick 6-0 run. Daigneault calls timeout. Muscala hits all of those threes. Again, a 9-0 run basically to push it back to a 10-point lead. And then the Pelicans followed Muscala's spree with another 12-0 run, I think, after that. So the fourth quarter was crazy.
It was. And those three Muscala baskets came immediately after Baisley came back in the game. I it might be worth our time at some point to go look and see how Baisley and Muscala have played together. That might be instructive, just to check that out this season.
So you think you would guess they played well together?
I mean, they seem to fit pretty good. If you like, you know, Horford, if you like shooting, the problem with Horford, he's a good shooter, except he's not shooting good this season so far through seven games.
Those misses tonight were way off.
Way off. He had some bad misses. He hit left. You know, he shoots a three from the top of the circle and misses the square, shoots left of the square, for crying out loud. But, you know, the Thunder stretches the floor more than they ever have because there's no Steven Adams in the middle. So everybody's out, five out. And it makes for some interesting basketball. Now, it's the worst offense in the league coming into this game. Let's not pretend it's fabulous, but it's fun and it's different. It's everything we're seeing is just so different. Everything we see is just so different.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. That's part of it.
You wrote, I thought, what was a really interesting blog, I think, yesterday about the Thunder ranking third in the league in three-point attempts and how that's basically a different blueprint than the Thunder has always gone with. And just the overall influx, we all know the NBA is shooting more threes, led, of course, by the Rockets' revolution, and the Thunder is sort of following suit. But tonight, again, that record, they tied the record in the first half. They finished 19 of 46. So that average went up again tonight. I mean, this is the sample size starting to get big enough to where this is like who the Thunder is? Now, playing the Pelicans twice will make those numbers skyrocket. Stan Van Gundy wants to play a defense that gives teams almost open looks. They want to protect the paint at all costs. I think the Pelicans lead the league in three-point attempts allowed. So that might skew the numbers a little bit, but still, this is an increasingly larger sample we're getting.
Yeah, I guess. Who knows? It's crazy. But the Thunder is not a great penetrating team compared to years past. SGA's pretty good at it. Nobody else is.
No.
So they're going to end up probably having to take some threes more so than usual. The Pelicans did a good job of shutting down the great Luke Dort tonight. They only gave him four shots. He made three of them, one of two from three-point range. So, you know, he's –
Let's see, what's his average up to? I looked it up earlier. I think he's up to 46% from three-point range. So this is who the Thunder is. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, I think, because that's what this offense is. You know, like I said, all five guys in the starting lineup are three-point shooters. First guy off the bench, Muscala, a three-point shooter. Maladone, who's the backup point guard, a three-point shooter. And that's just sort of what they are now. They're not necessarily great, but that's just sort of who they are. So, you know, they're not going to the Western Conference semifinals doing this, but they are going to be sort of fun doing this.
Basically at 20 and 12 tonight, are you like both? And I remember talking about this on our season preview podcast, but you know, we picked who's going to be the more impressive second year player. So far, I feel like it's a dead heat between Darius Bazley and Lou Dort. Like it's been almost a best case scenario with how those two have progressed so far in their second seasons.
Doing very well. It appears to me that Bazley has more highs than lows. Dort has become, you know, Mr. Consistency. He plays pretty good, both, you know, excellent defense every night and pretty good offense every night. So
he switched a three, and he airballed a three. It's still an experience.
Well, and yeah, that three he missed was awful, but he also made a good drive and finished with his left hand, if I remember right. So and got fouled. So he's a ball playing fool, I have to say.
Any thoughts on Roby tonight, or the guy I wrote about coming into this game, Kenny Hustle's return to New Orleans?
Kenny Hustle early seemed like he was trying to prove something to his old teammates, and I'm not sure they seemed to care. And so I think somebody got him the message that said, "Hey, just play normal, and we'll try to get out of here with a victory." I think that's probably what happened. I'm still intrigued by that whole Kenrich Williams, why he's playing and Justin Jackson isn't. Maybe he's better than Justin Jackson, but I find it very fascinating. I don't really know the answer there. But and Isaiah Roby, not really. He got hit, took a bad pop, made a couple of baskets, made a three, if I remember
actually,
right.
So. I actually like Roby. It seems like he's doing some things. I know he's probably not a long-term piece, but I thought he did not play it well at all in the preseason, and I thought he was a guy that could be one of the final cuts, and he's actually, like, helped them out a little bit.
Isaiah Roby, I think, would be an excellent third-team power forward on a decent team. So if, you know, if one of your power forwards is out, he could go play 12 minutes and, you know, help you out some. If he's your second team power forward and going to play 10, 12 minutes every night, it's probably not a good thing for your long-term success.
Yeah.
That's how I would rate Isaiah Roby. But, you know, he's making some shots and he rebounds pretty good. I sort of like his rebounding, although I'm not sure he got one. Yeah, he got two tonight, two rebounds. He's all right. Theo Maladon, I thought, had a little bit of a shaky game again. Three turnovers.
I just didn't notice him much.
Made some decent passes. 2 of 2 from three-point range. So, you know, he's going to be fine, I think. But we're just going to have to live with a little bit of problematic stuff.
Yeah, and the Thunder's, you know, other rookie, I guess, you know, Josh Hall is also a rookie, but Alexei Pokuševski is still out with a concussion. I saw a pregame video of him shooting, warming up a little bit before the game tonight. So seems like, you know, I'm not going to speculate when he's going to be back, but he's still in the concussion protocol and remains day to day. Is for Justin Jackson. My advice to you, Barry, is if you want to see him, just wait till Friday, because he'll probably play 20 minutes or so against the Knicks the way these rotations are going.
Now, listen, Friday's a big game because that's against you know, New Orleans is not going to finish with a worse record than the Thunder. So if you beat them, who cares? But you play the Knicks are going to start losing at some point.
Yeah.
You don't want to go, you don't want to go beating the Knicks.
The Knicks are playing, they're playing hard. They're they look somewhat functional.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, the one good thing about tonight, I would say, is some of the teams the Thunder needed to lose lost. The Rockets lost. The Hornets. I'm sorry. Some of the teams that the Thunder needed to win won. The Rockets lost, but the Hornets won. The Knicks won. The Kings won. So to me, that's good news for the Thunder. You want some of these teams down at the bottom to add to the victory total as well as the Thunder.
Yeah. Well, the next game, it's on Friday. We will be back with you then. It's the Nerlens Noel game. Are you ready for that? We get Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel.
If Nerlens goes for a triple-double, then we've got us a story.
I don't know if Steven Adams
could get 10 blocks.
He could.
Yeah, I don't know if he did. I didn't jump on the Pelican Zoom.
Yeah, they sent out the quotes, but Adams was included.
No, that's too bad. I'm glad I didn't get on there. Is to be honest with you. You know, the Thunder, by the way, they've got the same record as the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks and the Portland Trailblazers and the Denver Nuggets. So it's a weird year. It's a weird, weird year.
Yeah, it's a weird year. It's still a small sample. I think all of these things will start to balance out. But two games left on this road, on this long five-game road trip. The Thunder will close out with a back-to-back in New York with a Friday game against the Knicks, a Sunday game against the Kevin Durant-less Nets. So that's a little bit of a bummer, but we'll be back with you after both of those games. So thanks as always for listening to the latest episode of the Thunder Buddies podcast, and we will see you then.